Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to hear the story of a United States senator. You are going behind the scenes of political Washington, into the Senate chambers, the cloakrooms, the private offices, the meetings, secret and public. The locale, the background, are factual. Only the names and the stories are fictional. This is Freedom, USA. Starring Tyrone Power as the Senator of the United States and featuring the voice of America's distinguished news commentator and Washington authority, Edwin C. Hill. Freedom, USA, the story of your government today. In a moment, listen to Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA. Now, we present Freedom, USA, starring Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards and featuring the voice of Edwin C. Hill.
Edwin C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen. The Pentagon, largest building in the world. It's 42 acres of offices, 30,000 people from civilian office boys to five-star generals, work the clock around to direct the operations of America's worldwide military establishment. In the top secret council rooms of the Pentagon, decisions are made which will affect the history of the world for years to come. To this five-sided edifice, squatting on the banks of the Potomac across from Washington, come men with military problems from the far corners of the globe, generals and admirals, marshals and captains, lawgivers and lawmakers, like Senator Dean Edwards. Although Senator Edwards' mission did not involve battalions, divisions, or armies, it only concerned a single private soldier. It all began like this.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to see Senator Edwards, please.
The senator is terribly busy right now. Perhaps I can help you.
I'd like to see him personally, miss.
Was he expecting you, Mr.
Porter. John Porter. I didn't have time to make an appointment.
Mr. Porter, I'm terribly...
I know it sounds phony, and you probably hear it a million times a day. But this time, it's true. It's a matter of...
Not life or death.
Yes, ma'am, literally.
Literally?
Yep. You have to believe me, miss. I've got to see Senator Edwards now. My name's Porter, Senator Edwards. John Porter. I'm from Indian Crossing.
I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Porter. Sit down.
Oh, thanks.
Now, what can I do for you?
Well, Senator, I don't know just how to begin. My wife, you see, has... never got over losing two of our sons in the last war. One was killed in the Battle of the Bulge, the other in Tarawa.
I see.
But we still had our youngest, Johnny. My wife worships that boy, Senator. She actually lives for him.
It seems natural under the circumstances.
Now Johnny's in the service, too.
Drafted?
No. He enlisted 6 months ago. The boy took his training at Camp Carstairs and was able to get home a lot. But it was when they shipped him overseas that it really hit Mrs. Porter hard. She took to her bed, and she's been failing ever since.
I see.
She imagines a lot of things, like maybe Johnny is dead, and somebody's keeping it from her, and things like that. I tell you, Senator, I'm at the end of my rope.
Well, and what do you want me to do?
If you could arrange to have the boy sent home.
Oh, that'd be mighty difficult.
I realize that. But the doctors say that if she would see him again and convince herself that he's all right, then she'd have a chance of getting better.
Well, have you reported the situation to the Army?
Senator, I've written a dozen letters. I've seen just about everyone there is to see back home. But always there's a little more red tape. I get promises, but it'll take time before those promises can be kept. And, well, we just can't wait, Senator. Look, I've even got affidavits from the doctors right here.
Excuse me just a moment, Mr. Porter.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir?
Ginger, will you come in here a moment, please?
Right away, sir.
Copies of my letters.
Well, I don't know. Ginger, take this down.
Oh, sure.
What's your boy's name?
John Porter, Jr.
Serial number?
Let's see. I got that here in my wallet. Here it is. 742135 46.
And his outfit?
542nd Replacement Battalion, APO 786.
You got all that, Ginger?
Yes, I have.
Leave those papers with me, Mr. Porter. I'll see what can be done.
God bless you, Senator.
I'll do what I can, but I can't promise a thing. Not a thing, except that I'll do my best. Will this table be all right, Joan?
Any table is all right when you're my escort, Senator.
Oh, I'll bet you say that to all the servants of the people.
Oh, no. No, only junior senators. I have a different routine with elder statesmen and cabinet members.
Your menu?
Thank you. Oh, the Towers Hotel at lunchtime. You know, I don't know what a poor, hard-working society editor would do if it weren't for the Towers. Oh, say, look. Don't you think it's significant that the gentleman from Pennsylvania is deep in conversation in yonder corner with the second secretary of the French embassy?
Perhaps. It could mean the devaluation of the franc. Or it could mean that the gentleman's wife has asked him to get the name of a good dressmaker in Paris.
Right. And what's new with you, Senator Edwards?
Social notes or business?
Oh, in Washington, social activities and business run together. For instance, I'll bet there's an item for the society pages in something you've done this morning.
Yep. I mailed a pamphlet on potato bugs to a constituent in Westwater.
Oh? Is that all you've done?
About all I can remember. Oh, say, by the way, you know everybody in town. Who's the best man to see in Army personnel?
Harry Lines. Colonel Harry Lines in the Pentagon. What do you want to see him about?
Nothing important. A personal matter.
Oh, okay. None of my business. Now, here, write this down.
What?
Mrs. J. Stanton Fonsby is giving a garden party next Saturday, and I'd love to have you as my escort.
Well, I am flattered, Joan, but I...
I know. But you hate garden parties.
Right. And to be acknowledged by Mrs. Follinsby, you have to be a high hurdles champ in the table hopping event.
Well, I tried.
And what's more, all I ever get at garden parties is chigger bites around the ankles.
And if you don't mind, I'll keep on trying. I might manage to change your mind. Oh, that is, if you get back in time.
Back? From where?
Well, the Pentagon. You're going to see Colonel Lyons. And men have been known to get lost in the Pentagon for weeks.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I have an appointment with Colonel Lyons.
Yes, sir. What's the name, sir?
Edwards. Senator Dean Edwards.
Oh, yes, Senator. I've been waiting for you. Here's your identification badge, Senator.
Thank you.
Please leave it at this desk when you leave the Pentagon.
Green border. Does that mean anything?
Well, sir, that means that there are parts of the building you can't visit.
Oh. Well, I'm not looking for any military secrets.
I don't suppose you are, sir, but you'd have to have a blue-bordered badge or a gold one to get behind some of the closed doors in this place.
Well, this green one will be good enough for my purposes.
Yes, sir. If you'll follow me, sir.
Lead on, Sergeant. You sure we won't get lost?
Oh, no, sir. Pentagon's the simplest building in the world to find your way around. Once you know the combination.
Yes, but how about those stories you hear about people getting lost in here for days?
Propaganda, nothing but propaganda. Although I did run into a general who couldn't find his office one day, but he was only a buck general.
Buck general?
Yeah, one star. Oh, here we are, sir. Colonel Lyons' office. 28314. Simple, wasn't it?
Colonel Lyons, Well, Senator, I must say it's an honor to have you in my office. Sit down, won't you?
Thank you.
Let me see. You wanted to discuss a matter concerning one of your constituents?
That's right. PFC John Porter, Jr. His serial number is...
Yes, your secretary gave us the information. I have his file right here.
Well, I must say that's efficiency.
Only way to run an army, Senator. Now, what about this soldier?
Colonel, his mother is very ill.
Yes, I know.
You know?
Well, it shows here on his record. He's been worried about her, and his chaplain requested the Red Cross to investigate.
I didn't know that. I do know, though, that there is serious doubt of her recovery unless she sees her boy again.
You aren't suggesting that we send him home.
Well, I'm requesting it, Colonel.
Well, now, really, Senator, what kind of army would we have overseas if every lonely mother could have her son back home at the snap of her fingers?
Well, that's not the point, and I'm not suggesting such a thing. But I am pleading a most serious case.
Well, Senator, according to the file here, there's some doubt about the seriousness of the case.
How can there be any doubt?
The doctors are not in agreement about her illness. Two of them who examined her believe that her trouble is psychosomatic.
Well, regardless of the cause, the woman is ill and desperately in need of her son.
Yes, yes. I'm sure every mother who has a son overseas feels the same way from time to time.
Well, this isn't the only son she sent overseas. She lost two boys in World War II.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I think you will agree that this case merits consideration.
Indeed, yes. Yes, I'll be glad to make a report through the proper channels.
But I thought you were the proper channels.
I am, but there are regulations, Senator.
Now look, Colonel. This woman is ill, desperately ill. Her health won't wait for quadruplicate copies of complicated orders to wander through channels.
It's the best I can do, Senator.
Then I'm afraid I'll have to see someone who can do better.
Now, there's no need to lose your temper, Senator Edwards. After all,
After all what? A woman is dying, and you have to check the book for regulation.
It's a big army, Senator. Here in the Pentagon, we have to run the army according to the book. If we didn't, we wouldn't have an army.
Well, Senator, back in the Pentagon on the same day?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It didn't. I ran smack into the old army game.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
This wire came for you this afternoon from Mr. Porter.
Good or bad?
Here.
Hope you can cut red tape quickly. Mrs. Porter, much worse. Feel that only hope for her is to see Johnny again. Please hurry. Well, I hate to do it, but I'm going to have to go over the colonel's head.
Back to Tyrone Power, starring as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA, and the second act of our story.
This is the Washington story. Complex, intricate, involving ideas and ideals and masses of men and women, and sometimes in Washington, there are those who become so engrossed with what is often called the overall picture that they can't see the tree for the forest. So Senator Dean Edwards discovered the first time he entered the vastnesses of the Pentagon to try to get one private soldier sent home to the bedside of his ailing mother. But Senator Edwards is a man who considers each tree a vital part of the forest. So he went back again to the Pentagon, and this time to the office of a two-star general.
Well, that's the story, General. If I didn't think it were important, I wouldn't have taken up your time.
I realize that, Senator. It's not an uncommon problem, you know.
Then there shouldn't be any trouble in getting the boy back on leave.
No, just a matter of time.
But there is no time, General. I came to you because the job had to be done in a hurry.
You're dealing with the Army now, Senator. The only way this Army can work is by careful delegation of responsibility. If every officer countermanded the orders of a lesser officer, nothing would ever get done.
I'm not asking you to countermand anything. I just want this thing hurried up.
I'm sure Colonel Lyons will do the best he can, Senator. And I'll help in every way possible. After all...
I know. Channels. Thanks, General. Ginger, call the Assistant Secretary of the Army. Make an appointment for me to see him as soon as it's humanly possible.
Yes, sir.
Tell him it's a matter of...
Yes, sir. Life or death. I phoned the Assistant Secretary of the Army, Senator.
Oh, good. When do I see him?
He's out of town.
Out of town?
On that inspection tour of Army bases.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
He's not expected back until the end of the week.
Oh, fine.
Anything else I can do?
No. No, thanks, Ginger. Oh, wait. One more thing.
Okay.
Call Senator Lawton. He's chairman of the Military Affairs Committee. Tell him I've got some business for the committee. And that, gentlemen, is why I have brought this matter before the Military Affairs Committee. I have come to appeal to you, gentlemen, to act so that this woman's life may be saved.
Senator Edwards, we all of us understand the importance of these matters. After all, we have constituents, too, and when we can accomplish some such favor as this, sometimes it means repairing quite a considerable political fence back home. Isn't that so, gentlemen?
Gentlemen, don't you see that a human being is involved here? The mother of a soldier.
I'm sorry, Senator. That sort of thing is just out of our jurisdiction. Perhaps if you emphasize the matter more sternly at the Pentagon...
Hello, Joan.
What's the matter? Well, you look as if someone had been slipping veto messages under your door.
How are you?
Well, I'm fine. But you're not. What's wrong?
Nothing. Just tired, I guess.
Hope you're in a better frame of mind by tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Fallensby's garden party. Remember?
Oh,
You haven't changed your mind? Still won't be my escort?
Joan, it has nothing to do with you, but... Well, I've got to see someone at the War Office this weekend,
Oh,
and...
that's what I like about you lawmakers. So gallant, so romantic. Simply sweep a girl off her feet.
I'm sorry, Joan. Come on, I'll take you to lunch.
And fool that I am. I'll go. Oh, hi.
Ginger, it's Saturday, remember?
I know.
Overtime the other night. Now you're in the office on your day off. You bucking for a raise, girl?
Just stopped by to set up your appointment with the Assistant Secretary of the Army.
But you didn't have to.
But don't let that stop you from considering the raise.
Have you called the War Office yet?
I'm about to now. The Secretary got back last night. Well, for Mrs. Porter's sake, here's hoping...
Well?
That was the janitor who answered.
The janitor?
Mm-hmm. I think you better recommend him for another stripe or something.
Why?
He said that Secretary Folger had been in earlier and that he'd heard him say something about going to Mrs. Fallensby's garden party.
Mrs. Fallens...
Uh-huh.
Ginger, you and I have a date right now.
No, sir. He turned down Joan Laramie's invitation, remember?
Well, but I didn't do it because
Senator,
I...
Senator.
Hmm?
Washington does funny things to people. They get so involved in making history that they forget the human beings around them.
Well, isn't Mrs. Porter a human being? I'm doing this for...
Yes, sir, she is. But Joan Laramie is, too. I, think it would be better if you went to that party alone.
How delightful to see you, dear boy.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Merriweather.
We've missed you at White Oak, Senator. Just the other day, I was saying to my husband, Alfred, I said...
I'm so sorry I couldn't get to your last dinner party. I was swamped with work.
I know, dear boy, I know. I read your speech on the Dunwoody bill in the Congressional Record. Brilliant, simply brilliant.
Well, I didn't make any speech on the Dunwoody bill, Mrs. Merriweather.
Oh, then it must have been some other senator. But you do make such brilliant speeches about those other bills and things.
Well, thanks. Have you seen Secretary Folger? I've been
Of course, child. You have to catch up, don't you? Well, come along. I'll show you around.
Oh, no. Don't bother, Mrs. Merriweather.
Come now. Mrs. Follansbee has done so delightfully well with this party, considering she's rather new to the Washington scene.
Yes.
Imagine 3 cabinet members, 6 senators, a Supreme Court justice, 2 admirals, and the party's really just begun. Oh, there's General What's-His-Name. Pardon me, Senator. Oh, General, don't run away now. Oh, you dear, dear child.
Exhausting, isn't it?
Hmm? Oh, Joan. Hi.
So good to see you, dear boy. Just think. 6 senators, 14 table hoppers, 2,000 chiggers, and 1 unescorted society editor.
Joan,
had your ankles bitten yet, Senator? A garden party just isn't a garden party without bites on the ankle. If the chiggers don't oblige, I will.
Now, wait a minute, Joan.
Excuse me, Tinny. I'm due at the punch bowl. Must dredge up some society notes.
Joan, wait.
Why, Anvil Newhouse. Well, I haven't seen you since I tried to crucify you in my column last month.
Oh, brother.
I've been watching you, Edwards. You look as miserable as I feel.
Huh? No, not at all. Secretary Folger. I've been looking all over for you.
Frankly, I've been looking all over for the exit. My wife hadn't insisted on dragging me here.
You want an excuse to get away?
You've got a good one?
The best. Business. Urgent business.
You know, Edwards, when I first saw you in the Senate, I said, there's a young man who shows great promise. Come on. I didn't know you were behind this Porter problem, Senator.
Well, Mr. Porter sort of tossed it into my lap, and I tossed it at the Pentagon. Unfortunately, it bounced back.
Well, it hit my desk on the second bounce.
What?
Here. Found the file right here when I got in last night. The orders were cut this morning.
And I thought the whole thing was going to be buried under a stack of onion skin duplicates.
That might have happened, too, but we do our best at the Pentagon. We may seem a little unwieldy on occasion, but we manage. The Porter boy should be on a plane for the States in a matter of hours.
Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate...
Oh, forget it. If it weren't for that garden party, I would have let you know sooner. I still owe you a favor for getting me out of there.
You want to pay me back?
Sure.
Call Joan Laramie.
The magazine writer?
Yeah. Yes, and explain to her that the only reason I showed up at the party is because I was looking for you.
Well, I'll do better than that. I'll give her an exclusive story of my overseas inspection tour. Where'll I find her?
Well, last I heard, she was dredging for gossip in the punch bowl. I think your offer will be most welcome.
Edwin C. Hill again, ladies and gentlemen. The Washington story. The contacts, the deals, the influences playing upon the will and emotions of the men whom we have chosen to run our government. It is sometimes a confusing and kaleidoscopic tale, which appears unclear and doubtful to us back home. But regardless of questionable counterplots, which from time to time obscure the main theme, the Washington story is a story of dedicated men trying honestly to give the best possible government to their bosses, the people of the United States of America.
Our star, Tyrone Power, will return in just a moment.
This is Tyrone Power, ladies and gentlemen. In 1783, Tom Paine wrote of the goal set forth for our nation to attain. As he saw it, it was America's responsibility to see it in our power to make a world happy, to teach mankind the art of being so, to exhibit on the theater of the universe a character hitherto unknown, and to have, as it were, a new creation entrusted to our hands. These are honors that command reflection and can neither be too highly estimated nor too gratefully received. It's reassuring to know that in almost 200 years, our nation hasn't swerved from those ideals. Is there a better reason for being in love with America?
Next week, may we invite you to again visit our national capital for another absorbing episode of Freedom, USA, starring Tyrone Power. In the interest of good government, we urge you to listen to these important stories from Washington, D.C. Freedom, USA.